You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. Looking ahead to all the action on a bumper day of racing this Saturday. You can join Sam Norris, Tom Morley and Rory Delaghi from 1:20pm for the racing from Haydock, Ascot, Thirsk, Stratford, Kempton, Leopardstown and Wolverhampton. Plenty of top-notch fare both here and across the Irish Sea for the first day of Irish Champions Weekend. Looking ahead to it now, I'm John Gibby and I'm joined by Gareth Topham. Gareth, how's it going?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
Looking forward to a big day of action.
Yeah, there is plenty on, isn't there? And plenty of quality, as you say. We've had quite a lot of rain, which has swept across both Ireland and the UK, and that's going to no doubt play quite a big hand in, I think, the outcome of certain races. So we'll just have to bear that in mind going into the weekend. But in terms of quality, you know, we've got Group 1s galore and plenty of other decent supporting races as well. So it's a real bumper weekend to be enjoyed.
Well, we'll look ahead to the Group 1 contest in a short while, Gareth. But first of all, let's get your own personal nap and next best selection for Saturday's action. I understand the nap comes up in the 3:35 at Haydock.
Yeah, I'm going to side with a horse I called on at debut, and he's just gone from strength to strength for all season. It's Godolphin's Ben Battle, who, of course, progressed into a horse that was good enough to win at Royal Ascot. The Hampton Court Stakes at Royal Ascot, a Group 3 contest where he beat Aidan O'Brien's Order of the Garter. He ran a good race where he was only just touched off in the Dante at York behind the sadly no longer with us Permian. He was beaten just 3.5 lengths in the Derby behind Wings of Eagles, and on Saturday he's rocking up in another Group 3 and he's back down to the trip of a mile. Of course, he has been racing over slightly further, but as I say, I called his debut, which was over 7 furlongs, and one thing this horse didn't lack on that occasion was speed, and we're only, what, 3 or 4 months on now, so I think it's very interesting that Connections are deciding to drop him back to this sort of grade and trip, and I think he's got an excellent chance of going very, very close, and hopefully the ground shouldn't pose too many fears for him either. He appears to be fairly versatile in what he's done so far, and his run last time out at Ascot, where he was beaten by a Nable, but then again, it was behind a Nable. There was plenty of juice in the ground on that occasion, and when he ran at York in May in the Dante, where he was just beaten by Permian, there was also a bit of cut in the ground. So hopefully that won't give him too much to worry about, and I think Ben Battle is a decent bet in that 3:35 race at Haydock.
I was having a look through this race earlier on, and in terms of the ground angle, I think you could maybe bring up a few of them. There are slight, you know, unknowns about the ground in that respect, and perhaps Ben Battle just sort of has that higher edge quality on some of these who are more sort of Group 3, Group 2 types. Ben Battle's run well in Group 1s already this season.
He has, and he's only a 3-year-old as well. There's only 2 3-year-olds in the race. The other one is Rusamat, so he's getting a bit of weight from the older horses in the race as well, which will help him. And I mean, he's coming into this race as well with a joint top rating of 114, so he's really well in with the likes of the 8-year-old Sovereign Debt up at the top. I think he's got an excellent chance, and with us here at William Hill, he's currently around about 9-2, so you know, it's almost a maggoty sort of each way price, but I think he's very, very safe to be there or thereabouts.
It is close to the top of the market as well. He's actually a joint favourite with Miranda, also 9-2 at this stage, and 5-1 for Mitchum Swagger, Ballet Concerto 6-1, and well, your fire's on at 25-1, but other than that, the biggest price in the field is 16-1, so it's, considering we've only got 10 runners here, it is a competitive affair.
It's a very competitive race, really, really good race, and looking forward to it, but maybe it'll be just the time for the younger horses to come good here, and as I say, I'll side with Ben Battle.
Ben Battle for Gareth in the 3:35 at Haydock then on Saturday, the Superior Mile Stakes, that Group 3 contest. Gareth, what about your next best on Saturday?
Yeah, the next best is an each-way price. It comes up in the the 4:10 race at Haydock. It's a handicap, and it's over a mile and six furlongs as well. So in the likely ground, these horses are really going to have to see out every yard of the journey. There's a horse coming into this race, is on an absolute roll at the moment, and I caught him a couple of weeks ago up at Hamilton Park, where it rained non-stop pretty much for 2 days. The going was soft, and Hamilton Soft is pretty darn testing as well. It was in the famous Lanark Silver Bell handicap, a horse called Sir Pal, and he absolutely bolted up. He travelled really strongly throughout. He beat another promising sort of Rafe Beckett's on that occasion called Brimham Rocks. I just think the form looks pretty decent. Pumblechook was well behind on that occasion. That one's going to be reopposing here. But ultimately, it was an impressive performance from a horse which I think could still be a little bit ahead of the handicap. But this is a stronger race, no doubt, than the one up at Hamilton. But he won it going away. He went through the line very strongly. And he ticks every box regarding ground. So I think his stamina is assured.
On a four-timer and up £10, but you think there could be more improvement to come from the horse?
Yeah, and Jamie Gormley, the young rider on board, you know, he's really come to himself this season, and he gets on well with Ian Jardine's Charge, and the Yarder are obviously no stranger to big Saturday winners, of course. They won the Ebor a few weeks ago, so yeah, Sir Pal, definitely a chance. I think they've pitched him into this valuable handicap for a good reason.
Sir Pal for Gareth in the 4:10 at Haydock, then. Well, we've spoken about two perfectly decent, you know, top races there, Gareth, but there's some even better racing taking place on Saturday, Group 1s, including at that meeting at Haydock. Of course, we've got the Haydock Sprint Cup on 2:25 on Saturday. You can hear it, of course, live here on William Hill's Racing Radio. And really, this week, the talk's all in about Harry Angel, because he did look at one stage like, you know, he was going to be a bit of a good thing for this race, but he's been on the drift. A lot of people have put that down to the ground and how he may or may not handle it, and there's been a bit of a gamble emerging on the likes of Brando, who's been one of the talking horses of the week, along with Taz Elite as well. How do you sort of view this race, Gareth? Do you think people are making too much out of the ground as a factor for the favourite?
This race can often be run in quite testing ground. Many years it's run in quite testing ground. Quiet Reflection last year, I don't think it was rattling fast when she won it. And there's been some years where it's been running rainstorms and everything. So it can throw up a couple of funny results every now and then. Quiet Reflection was favourite when she won it last year. But yeah, I just think generally you need to try and look. Sprint contests, I think, are quite hard to bet in anyway, because I think whatever level with sprinters, they do tend to take their turns, and we've seen it up at the top level this season. You know, Caravaggio, for example, he was all the hype at the beginning of the season, and it's turned out he's been beaten in one or two of these top events. The likes of Blue Point, Harry Angel, you know, they've sort of taken their turns and beaten each other. Lamato, another one you could throw into the mix as well. So I think with these sprint contests, whatever sort of grade they are, they do tend to take their turns. Again, we saw it at York at the Ebor meeting. Marsha went on to beat the filly that absolutely smashed her at Ascot. So it's going to be a very interesting contest, very wide open. But at the same time, with Haydock, I know Haydock ground, it can be, you know, there's soft ground and there's Haydock soft, and whilst they'd have been doing everything they can to be keeping the track as fresh as they possibly could, they've got two tracks at Haydock and they've been racing on the inner one for most of the season to keep the ground for this meeting in particular as fresh as it can possibly be. It still is going to be quite testing. There's been a lot of rain up and down the country. I think there's more forecast for tomorrow. You are going to need a horse which sees it out and handles a little bit of cut.
They've even moved this race forward, I think, two races on the card.
They have.
To try and preserve the freshest ground. I mean, it looks like they really are desperate for a nice service to run this Group 1 race.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, ultimately we want to see the fastest horse win the best race, don't we? So whether this will be the case tomorrow, well, we'll find out probably around about 2:27, but it's a rattling good race on paper.
That's the 2:25 at Haydock. Did you have a selection for the race, Gareth?
I'm going to take a chance with the Tin Man. Again, as I say, these horses, they do tend to take it in turns, and the Tin Man, I mean, you cast your minds back a couple of outings ago, and you know, he was quite an impressive winner when he scored at Ascot. On that occasion, he beat Taz Leet. But then last time out, he ran eighth. He was beaten five lengths in the July Cup at Newmarket. And he was behind a few of these, you know, Harry Angel, Brando. So he's got the form to make up with those again. But I think the ground will definitely suit the Tin Man. He's a horse that does go with plenty of cut in it. And there's plenty of conflicting form lines as you go back through the seasons that he's raced. But he's likely to go off at a pretty decent price. There is the possibility that this horse is a bit in and out, but tomorrow everything will be in his favour. And off the back of a rather lacklustre run last time, maybe tomorrow will be the day he's going to bounce back.
Well, most Saturdays, Group 1 action at Haydock would, of course, be the highlight of the day in terms of the racing fair, but not so this Saturday, Gareth, with the first day of Irish Champions Weekend, including a couple of very nice Group 1 contests. In fact, some of the best Group 1s we see on the flat all year take place in this weekend. I've got to say, first of all, I'm glad common sense has prevailed on this weekend. It does not clash with the St. Ledger, because I mean, it's just it was, for me, I mean, maybe I'm a bit of a purist, you know, loving a Ledger as a classic, but I just thought it was incomprehensible that the Irish Champion Stakes, one of the best flat races in Europe of the year, went off, I think, about 2 hours after the final classic. It didn't make much sense to me.
Yeah.
Fortunately, a week earlier, so I still clashed with the Sprint Cup. But you can't have everything. 5:45 is the Metron Stakes at Leopardstown, the Group One for fiddies, of course, and this race really demonstrates O'Brien's strength and depth in the fillies and mares division, Gareth. I mean, Rhododendron has won a Group One. She's been placed in two classics, and she's the stable's third string in this race.
Yeah, she was pulled up, wasn't she, last time out? So obviously she needs to bounce back from whatever bothered her that day. Again, it's a strong race, isn't it? Roly-poly winter. I actually think this is a more exciting race, I'm thinking, on paper than the Irish Champion Stakes, which I don't actually think is the strongest renewal that I've seen. Certainly compare it to last year. I've never seen so many. There were 12 runners in that Irish Champion Stakes last year, and I think basically the 12 best sort of middle distance performers, they were all present. It's not the case in that Irish Champion Stakes, but this is a seriously, seriously hot matron stakes, and Winter has to be the selection. She's proved herself pretty versatile with her terms in regards to the ground. She's just going from strength to strength. She's winning every time she's coming out, and she's winning impressively as well in various field sizes. She's likely, well, she will be the first string. She's got Ryan Moore on board, and she is likely to take all the beating. I think she could run in the Irish Champion Stakes and win that. So maybe they're just trying to preserve her such strong record this season. They've gone for what they have in mind as maybe the slightly easier option. For me, she's going to take the world of beating.
Four-time Group 1 winner and 10-11 with us here at William Hill. It's sometimes it happens with these O'Brien horses, doesn't it? It's happened with them real a little bit as well, that it seems that because they're not maybe the top star in the stable, they keep going for these Group 1s, they keep winning these Group 1s, and they don't go off long odds on. She is only just odds on at the price of 10-11.
Yeah, she is. And that just highlights what a good race it is as well. You know, a filly like Winter turning up in a normal matron stakes would probably be around the 1-3 mark, which I think highlights how strong this race actually is. It's just chock-a-block full of really impressive and progressive fillies as well. Rhododendron, she's got a huge amount of ability, this filly, but she does have to overcome that P that's next to her name from last time out. So that's probably why she's quite a decent price in the betting market. Roly-poly's coming into this race having won her last two. So, I mean, if there's any flaws at all in Winter's armour, Roly-poly's going to be there looking to capitalise. And there's one or two others coming into the race as well, the likes of Persuasive from John Gosden's yard. She's possibly not quite lived up to what they fully expected of her. But again, she gets a chance to correct that tomorrow afternoon. And down at the bottom, Godolphin's Wuhader as well, another filly who's, again, only 3 years old, quite lightly raced. She's going off at around about 20-1. So there's perhaps a little bit of value to be found as well, with Winter taking a certain segment out of the market. But for all that she does, she is the one to beat.
Yeah, Winter, the odds-on favourite for the Matron Stakes, the 5:35 at Leopardstown on Saturday. And, well, there's an even more prestigious race. I mean, I know you said you preferred the Matron from a sort of a competitive angle, but when it comes to the best middle-distance flat races in Europe, really, Gareth, the Irish Champion Stakes year on year, it's got to be right up there.
It is, yeah. But I do think this is probably one of the weaker renewals that we've had in the last decade. You know, you sort of look back, you know, since the early 2000s, you know, the likes of Galileo Fantastic Light. Last year we had Almanzor beating that absolute top quality field.
Last year was amazing.
See the Stars winning this, Golden Horn winning this.
Golden Horn being found as well.
Yeah. You know, there's been some incredible renewals of this race, and I'm just not convinced at the moment that tomorrow's is one of them. For all that, it's a 10-runner race. It's very, very competitive, and I think it's a good chance really for Churchill just to get his career back on track, because after that disappointing run at Royal Ascot, he did bounce back last time out in the Judmont International, and he was just beaten by a horse that for me has really come of age as an older horse in Ulysses. And he won't have Ulysses to beat in this. He's got Eminent, who has been a very exciting three-year-old for Martin Mead and his team this season, who finally got his just desserts when winning last time out in a decent race. This is going to be a bit hotter, but Eminent is still open to plenty of improvement, I think. And it's much bigger prices bar the two, but Connections, they're always quite bullish with these very special types that they name after famous people when they're youngsters. And you know, they were, you know, the birds were singing about this Churchill back last season. It hasn't quite fully worked out perhaps as they expected. He started off really well, but it has been tougher the last twice. I think this is a good opportunity for him to get his career back on track and win a real big one in the second half of the season.
So would you maybe be looking at the short price double between the Matron Stakes and the Irish Champions
Stakes? Very possibly. I mean, they're going to be going there tomorrow, aren't they, expecting quite a bit. I mean, they've got strong chances in quite a few of the other races as well. It could be a big, big day for Ballydoyle over in Ireland. Out of the two, again, I'd rather back Winter. I'd rather back Winter than back Churchill, but I do think that Churchill has got the best opportunity to get back into the winner's enclosure that he's had since earlier on in the campaign.
And Aidan O'Brien could be in for a big weekend with Group 1 action across the UK and Ireland, not only on Saturday but on Sunday with the second day of Irish Champions weekend. If you think he's going to train four Group 1 winners, exactly four, this weekend, then that is 11-8 with us here at William Hill. Do you think four could be a reasonable target, Gareth?
Well, Order of St George hasn't got much to beat, has he, in the Irish St Ledger now that Big Orange is out.
And what do you make of Dartmouth's chances?
Yeah, he's all right, Dartmouth. I just wonder whether he is the heartiest in a battle. That's probably quite a harsh thing to say, seeing that he really did try it at Royal Ascot when he won for the Queen last year. But for me, he was obviously just run down, wasn't he, at York last time out. But he is a very solid contender. I just think that Order of St George, this race tends to throw up horses that win it time and time again, and Order of St George is a horse that races in all of these top staying races. And you know, he has had some pretty tough races. The Ascot Gold Cup springs to mind, but that was a wonderful sort of confidence boost for him last time out, and off the back of that, he's going to be very tough to beat in a race that the stable have farmed.
Well, tune in to the Daily Racing Podcast tomorrow for more on the Sunday of Irish Champions weekend. But for now, Gareth, thanks very much for your thoughts on Saturday's action. And make sure you listen to all of Saturday's action with full selections and race commentaries on William Hill's Racing Radio.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.